Blog Talk Radio.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
I've heard stories from teachers in classes where their students are grounded that they have half the level of referrals for discipline. Some students who were in tears because they were experiencing success when before they were experiencing failure with their behavior and discipline. I've heard stories from teachers with autistic children who have been grounded where they have less of what they call the meltdowns. And the meltdowns are less frequent and shorter, and they come back into the classroom and they're learning more than they had learned prior to the grounding. It's amazing what happens, not just with the teacher at the front of the class, but what can happen with a student sitting in the class. And just think if every single student and every single teacher and every single classroom and every single school across this whole world was grounded.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com. Hey, Freedomist, Proof here. Just want to let everybody know that I have a trusted source for EMF protection. So you can block out this 5G possibly from your cell phone or any other electronic devices. Go to groundwithgia.com and please check out the selection of products that you might need to help filter out all this electronic garbage that's going to get into your house and to your life. So most of us have cell phones except for me. You're going to want to protect yourself. We all have Wi-Fi, and you definitely want to do something about this. Please check it out, groundwithgia.com. That's ground with G-I-A, Gia.com.
Hello, folks. We are here with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, just giving support, sharing important information, and uplifting and encouraging each other. So here on Barefoot is Legal Radio, we kind of talk about a wide range of things that tie into barefooting, to try to give a different perspective every time, but obviously when it's It's just, you know, Audrey and I, of course, it can still be within our, you know, our perspectives, you know, a little too much. So if you are a listener who, you know, has any other thoughts to share, any other just topics that you would like to see addressed, not even necessarily on this show, like, you know, on this current episode is what I mean, or just things that you would like to see us cover or address in the future, you can reach out to the Instagram, which is Real Barefoot is Legal. Audrey is the admin for that. So if you DM Real Barefoot is Legal, you can get in touch with Audrey to, you know, whatever ideas you have. And that could be anything from like content you want to see, topics you want discussed, an issue that, you know, or an experience that you would like to be able, you know, to talk on. And even if you don't feel comfortable talking on yourself, if there's any information and, you know, you would like to give to be able to address something that you don't feel comfortable publicly talking about yourself. And I know that barefooting is kind of, it is a complicated subject, you know. Some people look at it as being absolutely disgusting. They think there's something wrong with it. They think that it's just BS. They're like, you know, we're just making up the benefits here. I promise you, we are not. There's a lot of science behind it. And so I will go ahead and let you guys know. Audrey will be in shortly. She had some, you know, scheduling issues again. But she should be hopefully in for this show here soon. But remember, guys, like, we just started, we're not even a full 10 minutes in, so just go ahead and let you know that right now, you know, you got Phoenix talking, and Audrey will be here shortly. So where I was getting at is, before I want to let you guys know that is barefooting, it is a hard subject to tackle sometimes, you know, especially if you're just a person on the internet as, like, you know, just you on your own, you know, page, on your own social media account, you know, it can be a hard thing to talk about. And that's why Barefoot is Legal is here. It is to, you know, help give a voice. And that doesn't mean I want to hear myself talk all the time. And that, I mean, I just so happen to be the one filling the silence, you know. I'm not here for it to be, you know, about me and my perspective, you know, and the same thing goes for Audrey. You know, we want to help give a voice. And this community has definitely helped me find my voice. It's definitely, you know, helped Audrey find her voice over the years, even before becoming a, like, you know, a host here on the show and becoming an admin, and before becoming an admin of, you know, Barefoot is Legal, it was still a community that did help her, you know, find her safe place and her voice and her barefooting in, you know, her life and in her world. It was a place of validation for her, although, you know, most people that know Audrey knows that she's very much herself and always has been, whether you like it or not. And personally, I don't find that to be a bad thing. I think that is a good characteristic to have. And I know a lot of people, you know, in my personal life have thought the same thing as me, like, oh, you know, like, I'm just so openly and proudly myself. But I have definitely had a lot of struggle with that, and especially in terms of barefooting and, you know, feeling comfortable with that, feeling like it's okay. And Barefoot is Legal, you know, being on here, being able to talk, excuse me, and be able to, you know, share my experiences and be able to, you know, talk on topics for other people, it has helped me, you know, find my voice in a way, it, for sure, you know, more than I probably even realize, you know, because, you know, I've been doing the show for a little over a year with Audrey, and Audrey's been, you know, doing the radio show. I've been hosting longer than that. And so it's just, it is nice to have a platform and a place where you can, you know, be yourself. You can, that one thing that a lot of people want to criticize, which in for our case is barefooting, you know, it's great to have that place for that one thing you can just talk on, you can be accepted for. And that has been, really important to me, you know, and I've greatly appreciated that. But I do want to hear more from other people. I want to know how, you know, how we can do more to address issues and topics, and how can, you know, Audrey and I talk about the things that you guys really want to hear, you know? And barefooting, you know, most people think it's just as simple as, oh, you have bare feet, you know, and you're not wearing shoes, and that there's not a whole giant world to it, you know, of ideas and opinions and thoughts and, you know, disagreements and agreements and, you know, preferences. And I mean, even stimulation is a big aspect of barefooting, and that relates, I mean, everybody, all information is a form of stimulation, all movement, all talking, all anything we do, you know, everything is a form of stimulation. But especially for people with ADHD and autism, like Audrey and myself as neurodivergent people, you know, we can really struggle with having our shoes on, you know, not being grounded enough. And I feel like even now, sometimes when we do the show, I feel like I get a little like scatterbrained, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I bet this show would be so much better if I was able to be outside and I was able to ground the earth. Because, you know, there have been times when I feel like, and Audrey, I know, has said the same thing, where, you know, when we used to be able to do the show outside, I mean, obviously it's distractible doing it outside, and we would have, you know, other distractions. It was like we still just felt so much better being grounded to the earth. And, you know, with it being winter, that makes things pretty tricky. Because, well, and obviously the weather, it's going to depend. Winter is, you know, what is the word I'm trying to say, dude? I'm so sorry, guys. I had like three thoughts going on, and then the next day I don't go, you know. Winter looks very different for, you know, different regions, different climates is one of the things I was going to try to say, you know. So different people are going to be living through different situations, and so that's going to be able to affect, like, their ability to barefoot. You know, our social environment is a huge aspect of barefooting. And that can do with, you know, the social environment, that can be a physical thing, you know, like any safety risks, anything like that. You know, there are physical aspects to our, you know, social environment. But there are also mental and emotional aspects to these environments. And, you know, depending on how accepting other people are of our lives, of our lives and what they look like for, yes, because everybody's lifestyle is different. Everybody's preferences are different. Everybody's needs are different. I mean, we all have the same basic human needs, but we all have our own variables. We all have our own ingredients that make us into the unique cakes that we all each are. I don't know. I hope you understood that analogy. Sometimes I can't tell if I'm making sense. But, you know, so that's another thing we need to look at. You know, obviously, if you're in an unsafe environment physically, you know, like a construction site, for example, that is not a safe place to barefoot. But is barefooting the problem? No. Barefooting is just not the solution to the problem. The problem being the safety risks. And what are those safety risks? So safety risks, or whatever safety risks happen to be, you know, present at that time on the construction site, you know? So barefooting is not, you know, the problem. A lot of the times it's other issues of safety, and barefooting just isn't the solution. But, you know, for a lot of neurodivergent people, where what I was talking about before with stimulation, when you're neurodivergent, wearing shoes can be like a sensory stimulation hell. Well, for other neurodivergent people, whether it's ADHD or autism, or other forms of being neurodivergent. Sorry, I like my brain today. But give me one second to catch my thought. Okay, I think I got it. Sorry, I've got three different ideas going on in my head, and right now I'm trying to hold on to each of them separately, so it makes sense. It's definitely been one of those weeks, though, for sure, where the not being able to ground and be out in nature like I can in the spring and summer definitely is affecting my brain. And that was actually one of the things that, you know, I'm talking about is and so I guess I can come back from a place of experience too. But there is like a sensory hell, a sensory stimulation nightmare from wearing shoes for a lot of neurodivergent people like myself. But it is important to keep in mind that other neurodivergent people who are not like Audrey and I, you know, or other barefooters, they can't go barefoot, you know. For them, you know, the textures, everything, you know, associated with being barefoot for them is sensory hell, is a sensory nightmare. And so we need to be really understanding that, you know, barefooting does have its role in helping neurodivergent, but it is not the solution for everybody who is neurodivergent. And so, you know, barefooting is not a solution on a construction site, you know, with those, you know, those physical environments, it so happens to not be a solution. Wearing shoes, wearing a hard hat, and a lot of times you have to wear, you know, reflective material to make sure everybody can, you know, that you're seen when you're working with, you know, large construction equipment. You want to make sure that everybody is visible, and so nobody actually, you know, nothing happens, you know. So there's a lot of things that go into play in our physical environment, but also within our internal environments and within our just mental, emotional environments. And that's in terms of how we engage with others on an emotional and mental level. All of these things are happening, you know, in every environment we're in at one time. There's all these different factors. And then you can throw in, you know, spiritual factors, you can throw in religious factors, you can throw in cultural factors. There are a lot of factors that go into everybody's everyday life, into each everyday moment even. But there's a lot of that, and because of that, there's a lot of factors that go into barefooting and how we're able to barefoot, you know, with, and like what I was saying earlier, with like the climate being very different for everybody, depending on your region, you know, during winter, and also if you're in the other side of the hemisphere, you know, it's not even winter for you. And I wish I was there, but then I'd probably be complaining about, you know, the hot, scorching asphalt, you know, either way, you know, because summer can have its own safety risks depending on where you live. You know, like last year, a lot of places, this past summer, you know, a lot of people had temperatures that got over 100 to 105 degrees when we had that massive heat wave, I at least know, in like the U.S. That was, and I remember my car getting up to 120 degrees and me not being able to like put during those days unless I was on the grass because the pavement and the asphalt just got so hot. I mean, it was hard to breathe. I mean, we had heat advisories and for you know, and some of you may know, like I, you know, nanny kids in the summer and I felt bad, you know, I'm here with these kids like 10 hours a day and I can't tell them that they could even play outside and they would want to play outside. But the moment we'd walk outside, I mean, like my glasses would completely steam up to the point where I couldn't see. And, like they would have, and after about 5 minutes, they'd be like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to pass out, even sitting in the shade. Like, you know, last summer we had a huge heat advisory. It was horrible, you know? So it's like, you know, you can't, you know, there's always going to be, you know, some environments where there's, you know, safety issues. And so I know that's been definitely a frustration, you know, in general with barefooters, whether it's, you know, peak summer or peak winter, is, you know, that there are environmental factors that come into play, you know, and some of that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, how, you know, tough your feet are, how much work you've put in your journey. I also want to remind people that it's okay. It's okay to have these limitations. It's okay to realize that you have to do what's, you know, safer for yourself in these extreme weather temperatures, you know? And like, so like here, you know, we've, in Ohio, like I've noticed the weather has kind of gone back and forth. So like earlier this week, it got up to 68 degrees one day, but today, I'll double check the weather. Like yesterday it was below freezing. And I mean, today it's 42 with a feels like of 35, but earlier this week it got up to 68 and the feels like was 65. So it wasn't too bad. So, you know, and I think it's like especially really frustrating to go back and forth between these like periods of where it's like super, you know, warm and nice, or at least it's like warm and with a little wind chill, but you can still barefoot freely. And then it's like, oh, it's freezing again. Like it's created a lot of frustration for me, and like personally, and I'm sure that it's created a lot of frustration for you guys too. Now I know Audrey, you know, good for her. She's been able to go all winter without shoes, except for one time. She only put shoes on one time this winter, and that's impressive. The snow is not my friend in that way, but I have definitely, like, to be able to just go full time. But I've definitely found benefits with inflammation in my feet and with some of my chronic illnesses, being able to go out for even just 2-3 minutes in the snow and, like, just be able to put my feet, in the snow, or even just touching the cold, like, concrete right outside my like front door, even if, you know, like the snow is going to be too cold. Sometimes just the concrete is nice, or even just if like it's a little bit warmer where the ground is really cold, but there's like no snow, or it's like more sloshy, like even going to the grass. Like I've found benefits from using it like an ice pack for a little bit, for just 2-3 minutes. A couple of times I've gotten up to 5, closer to 10. Depending on the weather too, has been a variable, but also depending on how inflamed my feet were, I have found benefits from that. But, you know, on those days when there's a lot of snow, I'm not able to go around full barefoot the way that Audrey is, you know? So it is kind of a balancing act. You know, we all have very complicated bodies that are very different. We all got our own shit, our own stuff going on, you know? And so it is, important to remember that and just figure out what works for you. And it is like a balancing act. It can constantly change. And so, you know, I've definitely had my frustrations with sorry, I got a message from Audrey, and that was important that sorry, I was gonna look at, sorry about that. But anyway, you know, sorry guys, our environment though, you know, physically do have an impact on our barefooting is, you know, the main, you know, point that I'm trying to make. But I know that I have found, frustration this week as it's gone back and forth, and just how difficult that, you know, like balancing act can be. You know, it can definitely be frustrating. Because, like, I can't even remember what day it was, like my timeline of this week. I'm trying to remember. Sorry, guys. I have to also send something to Audrey. It's okay. I'm not, that's something against her. I'm just like, sorry, guys. Okay. There we go. It is important, but okay. So I'll get back to, but I know I was like, I've been finding some frustration because some of the days where it's like, you know, in the upper 50s, it's even gotten up to like, and this is even like the past two and a half weeks, even more so too. But this week was, I think, especially frustrating because it did get up to pretty much 70 degrees and then it like dropped back down, you know? So that was a little more frustrating, but it's been the past like 2 to 3 weeks and that this up and down weather where it's like, ooh, it's like 55, you know, low, mid-60s, you know, in that range. And so it's like, okay, I can barefoot, no problem. But only for, you know, to like 4, you know, of that day. Because, you know, with this time of year, with like the way the sun's setting, even though the sun is setting later, it's still like we're not, still just not getting as much sunlight during those other later hours before like a sunset that I've noticed like when I would try to go out, you know, into the woods, quarries, whatever, at any time, like after 4, and the temperature difference was just crazy. Like, even if it still said it was the same weather, I'd go and check the feels like, and the feels like would have dropped 20 degrees, or sometimes the temperature itself dropped 20 degrees. And so it's like, and then if you've got other stuff going on where you can't, you know, go during the day, it's frustrating. And so, and then too, it's like, oh, then the next day it's 32 degrees or, oh, now it's, you know, below 32, 32 being freezing, the, you know, point of freezing. And then, oh, now it's like 42 or it's, oh, it's not freezing, but it's not cold enough. And so it's, you know, it's just this up and down has definitely created a lot of frustration for myself and probably others out there. So just remember, it is a complicated balancing act. It is. It's not simple. It's hard to find the rhythm that works for you and your body, and especially this time of year when the temperature is all haywire or whatever, you know? And it just can't pick and choose. You know, it just wants to pick and choose, go back and forth between what it wants, you know? Because we're in that kind of transitional period where we're not quite spring, but nearing the end of winter. And also, I don't know, global warming may be playing a factor. I'm honestly not a scientist, so I don't even know. And not even just global warming, like climate change can cause issues with excessive rain. But, you know, I'm not a scientist on that, so I'm not 100% sure what's going on but it has been frustrating. So just I want everyone to know that those frustrations are okay. Those frustrations are valid. It's rough, you know? So just take it a day by day and just figure out what you can do to barefoot for you and to help ground yourself every day, you know? Even if it's just having a barefoot inside, you know? And maybe some people do prefer that, but for people that don't, like me, and I know Audrey doesn't, you know, that I know Audrey feels the same way. We'd rather be out in the forest or, you know, in the mud, in the grass, really any type of outside environment that, you know, nature. And, you know, so just finding each day what you can do, you know, and even if you can only handle, if it's so cold, you can only handle a minute, even 30 seconds if you're, you know, it's like serious snow where you're at, you know, just finding those things that help you, you know, and I'm going to run a quick ad break since it is 2, and we will be back to talk more on just like how our environments, you know, are affecting our barefooting.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields, from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say so. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Hello, guys. We are back with Barefoot is Legal Energy. Radio. Oh, sorry. I had something I was going to say about energy, but wait, next. Sorry. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of the barefoot lifestyle. And here on Barefoot is Legal Radio, we give, you know, support, we share information, you know, just highlighting that, you know, we're all going through struggles and just how to kind of cope with those struggles and validating each other's struggles, because unfortunately barefooting is still stigmatized. Barefooting is still looked down upon. A lot of people still have a lot of negative opinions, and there's still a lot of false information out there, or misinformation really. And so it's really important that, you know, we, you know, take the time for that. And so, you know, I was kind of talking about, you know, how our physical environment, you know, can cause some difficulties, can cause some challenges. And, you know, this winter, like all winters, you know, it it presents challenges to us as barefooters, and whether it's, you know, the cold, the snow, and, you know, the cold and snow can have different effects on different people depending on, you know, illnesses. I know for me and Audrey with our, you know, chronic illnesses, it's, you know, it can cause some issues, but we also have, you know, our own different bodies and our own different symptoms and our own relationships with barefooting. You know, for me, I do have more limitations with the cold. I have more limitations with barefooting in the winter, but Audrey, you know, who's been doing this for, you know, over a decade, you know, has been barefooting for over a decade, which is awesome. You know, she was able to, or has been able to go this winter with only needing to put shoes on once, even, you know, and that was during, you know, the absolute worst of winter. And so I think that's very impressive, but, you know, for me, that can present some other challenges, physically. And so, you know, it's important to remember that our own bodies, our own, you know, are different. You know, we have our own experiences that are different. We have our own journeys. Audrey has been barefooting a lot longer than I have. And so she's been able to, you know, build up that resistance. Last winter was, and not this winter, but like the winter of last year, that was, you know, a huge milestone for her, where she, for the first time, was able to only put shoes on 3 times in a winter. And that was a huge milestone for her. It was a lot of, you know, like, you know, trial and error, you know, kind of figuring out what was best for her body and how to do that. But obviously there are places that get way more intense winters than here in Ohio. And so, you know, you may be dealing with other more intense environmental safety, you know, risks than, you know, what we're dealing with here. And so, but, you know, there are still people that, because they live in the cold, they have more resistance than to, you know, the winter, even if they have to wear shoes, because at times, because they're dealing with more, you know, and more intense safety risk of, you know, the cold and the snow in the winter, you know, they still have more of a tolerance than I do, despite me maybe being able to wear shoes more at times because it's not as cold here. So, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's so many different factors that go into play, you know, it's not really, and you can't really look at these things in terms of weakness or strength, just what is your body capable of, and what is safe for you, and remember, you know, what is safe can change, you know, I mean, if you think about it, driving cars is unsafe, just in general, you know, accidents happen all the time, but learn to drive. People go to driving school. People are taught how to drive. People get licenses for a reason, to minimize safety risks. Think about when, you know, a new driver starts out. Like, I remember, you know, when I first started out driving, the type of driver I was then, as, you know, basically a baby, newbie driver, and that I am now as somebody that's, you know, had their license for a couple years. So, you know, I'm only 21. And even more than a couple, but whatever. Like, I don't know how many exactly. I'm not going to do the math. But you know what I mean? Like, it's very different. And so it's, you know, experience, information, awareness, those are important things that go into whether or not something is safe or not. You know, it's, you know, that's why people should never, you know, just be, you know, driving drunk, because that, you know, affects your alertness, your awareness. And that is an important factor that goes into, you know, driving a car safely. Well, awareness and alertness is something that goes into being able to barefoot safely, you know? And so, you know, it is also too that you could, depending on the situation, your alertness, your awareness of the situation, whether or not you're paying attention, is going to have a big factor in whether or not that environment or you know, is going to be a safe experience for you. And so, you know, I think people who aren't barefooters sometimes forget that barefooters are a lot more cautious and alert and aware of where they're stepping and where they're walking. And part of that is just because, you know, it's just like a safety thing. You know, your brain becomes more alert because you're, you know, you're barefoot. But at the same time, barefooting is a safer option for a lot of people, because it naturally, especially for a lot of neurodivergent people that have a preference towards budding, it just naturally helps the brain just function more smoothly, the body function more smoothly, so that way we are more alert, more aware, and more in touch with our environment naturally. And so, you know, wearing shoes can be an internal struggle with safety. You know, it can be on a stimulation level, it could be on an emotional level, a mental level, you know, and we need to remember too that safety isn't just our physical environment. You know, are you emotionally safe? Are you mentally safe? Are you accepted or ostracized? Are you loved or mistreated? You know, like there's a lot that goes into whether or not a safe environment is a safe environment. And so, you know, barefooting naturally can just make a lot of people who are neurodivergent just feel so much safer, feel more in control, more in touch with our bodies. Just, it can help us just operate the way that we need to. Let me take a drink of water real quick, guys. Okay. Like how I brought up emotional, mental safety. When, as barefooters, you know, sometimes it's not even just about physical safety. Are you emotionally and mentally safe to barefoot in this environment? Now, you know, some of that, you know, can be interpreted as an internal struggle, as in, oh, you're lacking the confidence, you know, past relationships or past traumas that maybe made you feel invalidated, you know, and not even just because of experiences had directly to do with barefooting, but because those experiences, you know, gaslighted you or invalidated you prioritizing your body's needs. And so think about that. Any trauma or, you know, just complex, toxic situation where our needs aren't valued, where we're not allowed to prioritize them, that can then translate into other areas of our life. And so, you know, we kind of get this mindset of like, oh, our needs don't, inside. And we may not even be consciously aware of it. It can be a subconscious and unconscious thing, where it's just like, oh, well, my needs don't matter. And so then you feel the need to betray your body, betray what your body needs, betray what your mind needs, betray what your whatever dimensions of you as a person need. And so that's really important to keep in mind too. And so there is, you know, sometimes an internal struggle with confidence, you know, whether it comes from, you know, a situation of trauma and abuse, or if it's just coming from, you know, just not being entirely accepted, misunderstanding, misinformation. Even if it's not entirely related to barefooting, since barefooting is already such a stigmatized thing, it can still kind of create a complex, just self-gaslighting and self-invalidation thing that, you know, and I hope that makes sense. We also have to think, too, about how our current environments, not even just how past environments have treated us and how that may be causing us to, you know, be lacking confidence and be bringing, you know, some baggage with us wherever we go. Sometimes you have to stop and look at your current environment. Are you being accepted? Are you? Do your needs matter? Are you allowed to prioritize your needs? And barefooting is a need for a lot of people. People barefoot for medical reasons, whether that is for your mental health or for your physical health. People barefoot for spiritual reasons. People barefoot for religious reasons. And also, just some people just don't want to wear shoes, okay? And if it really bothers you so much to the point that you have an aversion to it, then there's clearly a reason. There's clearly something going on, you know? And there's a lot of science behind barefooting. If you go to the Instagram, Real Barefoot is Legal, in the like bio link, it's a link tree link. And if you go to the click on it, it'll take you to the link tree link where you can then click on, you know, our different links. I have a different social medias tags. I couldn't tag the private Facebook group. I could only tag the public Facebook group, or like the, you know, Facebook, the organization's like quote unquote business page, but technically a nonprofit organization, but it's like a business page on Facebook, you know. I could only tag that public page, since Barefoot is Legal, the private group is private. So you'd have to like look it up on your own Facebook, but it's just Barefoot is Legal. You do have to answer a couple questions to get in. It's not because the admins want to be all snooty and, you know, just be exclusive, but to make sure that we're getting people who are actually here to support the movement and to be a part of the community are the people who are, you know, coming into the group. You know, we don't want people that are just here to spam us with hate or invalidation or just negative energy that we don't need nor want in this community, you know? But there's all kinds of links under there. There's even like links to the previous radio show, the current radio show of each week. But there's also an article, and it's, you know, it's a credible health article. Let me actually see if I can. See if I can pull it up now, actually, to get the name of the article, because I can't remember it off the top of my head. But it's a good article. I'm hoping to link some more soon. The article is called Earthing Health Implications of Reconnecting the Body or the Human Body to Earth's Surface Electrons. And it's a good read. I personally think so. And from the Journal of Environmental Health and Public Health, as well as it's only giving me the acronym of the organization. The other one, I'm not sure. Can't remember off the top of my head. But anyway, it's a good, credible article. Check it out for yourself. Read it. And if you guys, you know, if any of you are, you know, have come across any other information that you would, that you just think is really important for barefooters to have and, you know, to share, you can reach out to Real Barefoot is Legal, the Instagram. Audrey is the admin for that. And so if you just send a DM or like a direct message, and just share that information with her through that Instagram. We can look through it, you know, get stuff linked. We can, you know, share information on future radio shows. You know, like I said at the beginning of the show, like, you know, we want to hear from other people. We don't want it to just be about like us, our opinions, you know, our thoughts and feelings all the time. Like, we want this to be a community where other people, you know, can share information, share experiences, and just, you know, there's a lot that we're currently trying to do behind the scenes to be able to see, you know, as an organization, what we can do more of, what we can do more of with this radio show, you know, to help expand this group, to help give support to more people, to help further spread, you know, information. And I won't get too much into those things, but, you know, so, you know, bear with us. There is, you know, we're ready for the spring too, and that will make a lot of, you know, things like, you know, health fairs possible. But you can check out barefootislegal.org. Barefootislegal.org for more information. And you can find like documentation, all the resources there. With the documentation are free. You can print them off for yourself. So there's just like legal documentation. You can find like a card from each of your states saying that, and here it looks like actually the North Carolina card open, so I'll read that real quick. But anyway, yeah, like, so for an example, here's the North Carolina one. North Carolina laws protect a person's right to go barefoot due to a religious, cultural, medical, or disability reasons. State and federal anti-discrimination laws protect your right to go barefoot in public spaces such as restaurants, grocery stores, theaters, government buildings, gyms, museums, libraries, trains, or buses. No one including business owners or employees, can tell a barefoot patron to leave or to put shoes on. Risk to the barefoot patron or annoyance to staff and customers are not being in all caps. Reasons to discriminate if, and then, you know, at the, and then after that little message, and it looks like, I'm not 100% sure, but North Carolina's card might actually be different than Ohio's. I'll even check that out too, because I know I usually use Ohio's as a reference, but it might actually be a little different, and I can double check that. But at the bottom, two of the card, it says on each of them, if you are barefoot and someone complains to you, politely explain, the law protects the right to be barefoot. To learn more about this law or to file discrimination complaint, contact, in this case, the North Carolina Department of Justice, and then it gives the link, www.ncdoj.gov/. But, like, for the Ohio card, which I'm trying to get to load, I believe it is actually a little different. And so, it, you know, there are slightly different, might be slight differences between each state, but there are no laws or health codes against going barefoot and places open to the public. I'm going to see, though, double check to see if the wording's different. Come on, please load. What? Okay. It's just not going to load today. Sorry, I think my computer is lagging. That's weird. Anyway, I'll continue the discussion then. It's so weird. Sorry, I got a little hung up on that. But anyway, so what I was saying before is, you know, earlier about not even just the physical risks, but are you emotionally, mentally safe to barefoot? Are you accepted? And that can affect our barefooting journey. You know, if you are around people that make you feel uncomfortable in barefooting because no matter how much you try to explain it to them, they still just don't get it. They just don't respect it. They just don't respect you. And that's the problem. If people really respect you, they're going to take the time to understand. Now, remember, it may take some people a little bit of time to get, like, their brain wrapped around it, you know, because a lot of people have been told misinformation their entire life. And so, you know, and I have noticed too from older generations, especially, you know, like I'm Gen Z. I'm like an older-ish Gen Z. So, you know, but I know it's like, you know, millennials, and there are a lot of millennials that are still, you know, closer to my age, but there's some that are much older. I'm sorry if that sounded like offensive. I know you guys aren't like old, you know. I know how that always gets so misconstrued, you know, with like the age difference, you know, sometimes, but that's not what I'm saying. As a Gen Z, there are millennials I know that are coming from a different time, a different social structure even. Even in my lifetime, you know, being born at the beginning of the 2000s, I feel like I've seen, you know, a transition since I was in middle school to what the world is now. And not just in terms of the crap, but even in terms of the good things. You know, we're becoming a lot more aware and conscious of how to talk to each other, how to treat each other. Mental illness is coming into awareness more. We're understanding, abuse. We're understanding toxicity. We're understanding trauma better. You know, we're understanding, you know, how to not shame each other's bodies. I mean, you know what I mean? Like a lot of people, there's a lot of things that have happened. And I think that like shaming of bodies, you know, that we saw so much, and I'm not blaming millennials because even millennials were the youth growing up in this, and I'm not really blaming anybody. I think there's a really long, you know, toxic system has existed for a long time, and unfortunately it has hurt the average person so much, and, you know, everybody's just trying to work through it together. The collective is really just trying to work through these things. But, you know, just think of how much body shaming there was in the early 2000s when around the time when I was born and I was, you know, a baby. I wasn't, like, you know, consciously aware of those times, but there were other people that were growing up, you know, and if you're one of them, you're like, yeah, no, I lived through that probably. And, you know, just think about, I sometimes think about all that, like, shame just around bodies in general, what they look like, that other, you know, generations have had to deal with and how that's, like, changing. Because I've found that people from my generation, Gen Zs, tend to be a lot more like, oh, whatever, about barefooting. You know, it doesn't take much for me to explain it to them. I'm just like, yeah, there are no laws or health codes against it. It's actually propaganda. Those no shirt, no shoes, no service signs are actually illegal. And it's propaganda, misinformation. And people, and a lot of Gen Zs are like, oh, wow, not even surprised, you know? And, you know, and because in general, like, you know, we're growing up in a lot more consciously and socially aware climate. And unfortunately, I feel like there's been some manipulation of that even too, where we're seeing that social awareness being manipulated against people by, you know, certain orchestrators of toxic situations in our society. I'll just leave it at that. But we are becoming a lot more aware, and that does make a difference. You know, in general, like, all generations are becoming a lot more accepting and a lot more aware, but we forget that. And I sometimes forget this, but not as much as other people my age have had to remind, is like, older generations, they have so much more bull crap ingrained in them from the harmful society and the structure that they were growing up into, and how a lot of people are actively trying to unpack, but don't realize that even as they're unpacking and as they've been trying to, they've still been given misinformation. And I mean, I've felt that, we've all kind of felt that. I feel like everybody has been trying to heal and work in themselves has, like, unfortunately gotten some crappy misinformation along the way, has gotten, you know, in trying to heal themselves, and has had to then unpack that as well. So it's not easy, but society and people, oh my God, my throat. The collective conscious is evolving. The collective conscious is, you know, working through these things. And so I do also encourage people to be patient and remember, though, that too, that other generations, they have a lot more to unpack and process. And if they haven't been given the space or the environment or the access to information to be able to do that work, that's going to create some setbacks and frustrations. And you can't make that your responsibility when you interact with other people. You know, you do have to remember that this is their stuff. It's their issue. It's their problem. It's their life. You cannot make yourself fully responsible for it, but you have to sometimes take this into consideration to remember that this is something that they have to work through. Now, it is, you know, we do also want to help educate each other. So, you know, definitely spread information where and when you can, but remember that it is not your responsibility to change other people's minds or to deprogram them. We all have a responsibility to our own selves, to our own minds, to our own other dimensions of our existence for that growth. Yes, you know, we want to help each other. We want to inform each other. And, you know, that may be a part of your purpose and your duty. But your purpose and duty, even if that is to educate and to heal people or to help people, you know, depending on what your field is, what your path is, that does not mean it is your purpose to wear yourself down into nothing for other people. You know, like, think about it. Like, think of, like, quarries. You know, there's a lot of natural resources from quarries. And those can be used for a lot of great things. I mean, there are crystals in technology. There are quartz crystals. There's rubies. Like, you know, rubies are in lasers. Like, the whole thing. Even, like, the thing in X-Men where, like, for those, some may not understand my reference, but Cyclops or Scott, the guy that has laser beam eyes, that's his power, like, the glasses, goggle things he has on, they have, like, rubies. Well, that's actually a thing in science where rubies actually help focus laser beams. And that's one of my favorite things about Marvel. Rest in peace, Stan Lee, Jewish icon right there. You know, I personally am a Marvel fan, so I just, you know, I know some of those weird facts just, you know, about the universe, but is there an actual thing, you know? You know, rubies, you know, do actually help focus light in that way. And so it is. So with this analogy, I'm trying to say, I got a little off topic, but with this analogy, you know, think of yourself as a natural reservoir or a natural quarry, or, you know, just, and think about how, yes, your resources can be used to do so many great things. I mean, water has so much, you know, usage, as most of us know. I mean, we kind of can't survive without it. You know, different crystals, you know, like, you know, quartz crystals are in like computers and watches and whatnot. Like, they have their own uses. You know, granite rock has its own uses. I mean, it's in countertops even, you know. You can make so many great things with your resources. But if you are not careful, you can drain your natural reservoir or your natural quarry or whatever to the point that you have nothing left to offer and you're burnt out. That is not purpose. That is a manipulation of your purpose. That is a manipulation of your energy, and not in terms of transmutation where you're positively, you know, in a positive way, able to manipulate energy, you know. And transmutation is kind of like, you know, think of turning bad energy into good energy. No, it is a harmful, toxic manipulation of your energy and your purpose. You cannot drain yourself for other people. You can give. You can see what information, what wisdom you have to offer, but you cannot drain yourself for other people. They have a responsibility to themselves, just as you have a responsibility to yourself. Now, if it is a child, like a minor child of yours, obviously that's different. Or, you know, somebody under your guardianship, you know, that's different. They are a kid. They're a minor. You know what I mean? But at the same time, too, kids need to have their body autonomy and respond and have responsibilities as they get older. And they need to respect their body autonomy, you know? And barefooting is about body autonomy. It is. Any choice, like dyeing your hair, a tattoo, barefooting, anything, any choice involved in your body, that is about body autonomy, about authority over your own body, authority over yourself. And so even if you are not a barefooter, I definitely recommend getting behind our cause, because nobody should have the right to tell you what to do with your body. At least, in, you know, I feel like, in, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm just crazy, whatever, you know. But nobody should be able to tell you what to do with your body. Nobody. Especially not the government. Especially not the government. You know, it's one thing if you're going out and committing crimes and you're doing things to hurt people, then yeah, that's not about body autonomy. That's about you doing an injustice or evil act. But if you are just living your life and want to go barefooting, you know what I mean? That's something that we should never be challenged on. But barefooting is legal. There are no laws or health codes against it in the entire United States or U.S. territory. Now, if you are, you know, a part of the military or some form of the military, there are going to be other rules that unfortunately you may have to live under. I know we've had a caller in the past who called on, you know, who, you know, was in the Navy. And so he had, when he's deployed or on base, you know, there's very different, you know, rules there. But if you're, you know, a civilian, if you are just living your life, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces. And what are public spaces? Well, public spaces are places open to the public. And so that, and I know that was probably not very, still a little vague. Okay. Well, think of businesses. Even if they're small businesses, it doesn't matter. Open to the public is any space that anybody can go into without a membership, without having to pay a membership fee. If you are not paying a membership fee, they are not a private institution. If you, and so now private institutions, yes, they can have their own rules, but their rules have to be reasonable. But another thing too, if you need an accommodation, your workplace has to give you, and institution, private institutions have to give you a valid reason to why your accommodation, aka barefooting, or whatever it may be in another case, is not allowed, or why they can't allow that. And they still, but they also have to come up with reasons and alternative. Sorry, alternative accommodations. They can't just tell you, no. There has to be a reason, a reasonable, understandable, valid reason. And they have to be willing to come up with and work with you for alternative accommodations. Now, obviously, I'm not giving you legal advice because I am not like a legal person. And so at Barefoot is Legal, you know, we don't necessarily give legal advice, but we are giving legal information. Okay. I'm not a lawyer. Audrey's not a lawyer. You know what I mean? We can't, you know, give legal advice, but we are giving legal information. We're giving information on the law. And so it is important to remember that you have rights and your rights matter. And I know it can be really hard when your social environments, as I was talking about before, you know, don't make you feel mentally or emotional safe. Places that even should be. The truth is a mental emotional safety in a lot of cases should be the bare minimum. Saying that means, oh, we all have to love each other to death and be willing to, you know, die for each other, and we all have to hug and be all best friends. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. It's actually pretty messed up that we think that safety should only exist in loving relationships, that safety should only exist in romantic or domestic partnerships or, you know, in families and marriage. No. Safety should exist everywhere. Safety is respecting each other, respecting each other on all levels, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, even energetically, and even respecting people's sexuality and not sexualizing them. Now, those are, you know, kind of two different things, but they're intertwined even. So we need to respect people on all levels. Safety is not just a thing you reserve for the people you love on a deep level. Safety should be in all communities. Safety is something we should prioritize in all of our situations. Now, I'm not saying let your enemies or the people that really want to hurt you step all over you, treat you like a doormat, and abuse you. No, because that's actually the opposite of what I'm saying, is because safety is important. So yes, we need accountability. We need boundaries. That's how you keep yourself safe from threats. You set boundaries on who you are going to allow into your life. If a person is not safe to you, they should not have access to your life or to you or to any information. You know, and that is for you to decide. But boundaries don't just exist for cutting people off. Boundaries should exist in how you are going to allow people to treat you. If you are asking people for support and even telling them what you need in terms of support and it is reasonable, and they just blatantly disregard, disrespect, and throw it out the window, there is a problem. They shouldn't be in your lives. And that's something I have had to learn the hard way, that boundaries isn't just when you cut. It isn't just for people you cut off and for, you don't just set a boundary to say you're not allowed in my life. You set a boundary on what can you do? What are you allowed to do in my life? And I've had people gaslight me in terms of support, love, all, you know, like, and just, I'm not saying like you even love on like a, on the, dying, undying, unconditional level. I'm talking about love as in the just basic community and friend and just general love for people, which is what respect is. You know, it is just, you know, it is combined in that. There are many different types of love. There are, I have them written down somewhere, but I probably could look them up real quick. But there are even, I believe it's 8 types of love. And the one I'm thinking of is, I forget how it's pronounced, agape. Agape. I always forget how it's pronounced. I'm gonna be honest. I don't think I've ever actually heard anybody say it. I've only ever read it. But it's spelled A-G-A-P-E, but it's universal love. And so, and a lot of the time this is looked at as being selfless and unconditional, but I really like to think of this because it's also called charity. It's also referred to as charity. And so we often look at that as being completely selfless and like, and a lot of times when people think of selfless, you know, they think of, you know, like, you know, this savior willing to die for you. But I think of charity or agape or however you say it, or this universal love is just a general love for your community, a love for people that we should all have. You know, it shouldn't be this huge, big thing, you know, it should just be something that we all have. And when we don't have that community love, there's a problem, you know, there is. And so, there are more types of love than just committed love, even too. We should not have kindness and respect and love reserved for our closest relationships. That's problematic. That's unhealthy. And that has led to a lot of the problems in our world and a lot of the pain, a lot of the hurt, a lot of the betrayal. And so we need to have love within our lives on much greater levels, you know, and we need to have that support. And if people are dismissing you and dismissing your need for support, and your need to be heard, and your need to be validated by the bare minimum, then there is a problem. And it took me a while to even realize how I wasn't even receiving the bare minimum from a lot of people in my life. And how, even when I did think I was receiving the bare minimum, how much those things were rooted in ulterior motives, and how much they were rooted in selfishness from that person. It was rooted in them gaining something and how they manipulated the situation. And so, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, don't accept you for who you are. And that sucks and that hurts, but that's not your fault and that's not your problem and that's not your responsibility. Those people don't belong in your life. Those people don't deserve to have you in your life. You know, and obviously nobody's perfect, so I'm sure you have got your own flaws and your own wrongdoings and mistakes that you've done and made, you know, that obviously you need to find responsibility and accountability for. I've had situations in the past year where I've had to realize that for myself even. But realizing too that situations are more complex, you know, than just one person being right, one person being wrong. So, you know, there, you may have some of your own personal growth to do and to evaluate on, but you cannot allow people that don't accept you for who you are into your life, you know, and barefooting is something that helps so many of us, you know, it has mental health benefits in terms of, you know, like mental illnesses, but also, you know, being neurodivergent. I can say for myself as somebody, you know, who had a later in life, diagnosis or realization or, you know, that whole journey of realizing I have autism. And it's just something that is even hard for me to say to other people because of how much, because when I first, you know, found out and realized I did not have support you know, and it's been a while since I've known. But I didn't have much support, and I had a lot of people that invalidated me. But barefooting is something that has helped me so much, and realizing too, realizing that I have autism also helped me realize that just the role that barefooting has played into my life and how much it has helped me with emotional regulation, with stimulation. You know, shoes are a sensory help for me a lot of the time, unless it's so cold that I need them. But even then, even when I need them as a tool, they're still unpleasant to me. I wish I could just, you know, turn up the heat or on the outside world, honestly, sometimes, because even when they're a tool, still have their problems for me, you know, and other people relate to that. I know too. And I know for Audrey with her ADHD, it has been so crucial for her. And, you know, and unfortunately there's a back order on ADHD meds nationally right now in the U.S., and so even Audrey has been affected by that. And so it's made barefooting a much deeper need for people with ADHD that, you know, aren't getting the medication they need. And I can imagine the frustration with that. I mean, there are no medications that help with autism, but there are medications that do help with ADHD. And, you know, and so I know barefooting is like a huge thing for me to help. But I know in Audrey's case where, you know, she's not able to barefoot because of her policy at work, and stuff like that. And so I know that that's really frustrating for her and has been a big struggle right now, especially with the back order on medication. And I know this is something we kind of also touched on last week. And unfortunately she wasn't able to be here for the show. We've got about 10-ish minutes left. But I know it's something we addressed last week, and we talked about, me and her talked about this week too, in terms of just talking about the show. And it's a big frustration. It's a big frustration for a lot of people right now. And so if you are somebody who right now is being affected by this back order and just basically shortage in ADHD medication, try barefooting. Please try it for just to see if it helps. It may not be the answer solution for you, but I know that there are a lot of neurodivergent people that it is helping already, and it has helped already. So if you're one of those people struggling right now, please try it out. Just please try it out. And I'm not saying for me, just try it out for yourself. See if barefooting helps. See if shoes are maybe adding to the problem. You know, see if it really can help with your ADHD symptoms. And even if you can't do it at work or, you know, finding other places and times to do it. Try it out if you've got panic attacks. You know, that's how we ended up on Mix 105 Indie Internet Radio. Is the coordinator guy, and he's shared this information too. So, I mean, this isn't me, like, you know, sharing, violating anybody's, you know, confidence or trust right now. This is something that, you know, he shared, and he's okay with being shared. But it was his panic attack. She had his therapist recommended barefooting for his panic attacks, and it helped him so much. And when he came across Barefoot is Legal, our radio show, he was interested, and he wanted to spread that message further. So you can also hear us on Sundays around 4:30 a.m. Not the best time slot right now, but you can listen on Mix 105 Indie Internet Radio. We have about 9 minutes left, but, you know, there are a lot of benefits to barefooting. And if somebody does not care enough about you to understand, to listen, to respect, I get it. It takes people a little bit to come around, like I was talking about earlier. You know, some people have been grown up in so much shame and so much like, you know, in society at the time that, you know, there are a lot of people that are also too within their own family structures and, you know, institutions that they've been involved in throughout their life, you know, have added to this shame, this misinformation, this propaganda against barefooting. So it may take some time for them to wrap their mind around it. But if people actually care and respect you, they're going to listen. They're going to take the time to listen. They're going to take the time to understand. And they'll hear you out and they will respect you and your choices. They're not going to judge you and discard you and ostracize you and alienate you and make you basically outcast you, make you feel like a loser. You know, they're not going to do that. And so, you know, if you're not safe emotionally and mentally in those environments, there's a problem. And it's not your fault. Your needs are valid. They are. Barefooting is legit. It helps. There, like I've already said, there are medical reasons. Whether it's physical health, mental health, being neurodivergent, there are spiritual reasons, cultural reasons, religious reasons. And some people just don't want to do it. You know, there are a lot of reasons why people barefoot. There's a lot of reasons within those individual reasons. You know, there are individual reasons within those broad reasons. Not everybody is barefooting is doing it for the same medical reason. Or, you know, and not everybody who's neurodivergent has, has the same thing going on in their brain or has the same stimulation needs. You know, like everybody is an individual. You know, we've got our own individualistic needs, preferences, experiences, you know, so we're all coming from different places and we need to respect that and understand that. And if other people aren't respecting that and understanding that within your personal environment, then there is a problem. And that problem is not you, it is them. So, you know, don't put up with the bull crap, okay? Stand up for yourself. And barefooting is legal in all public spaces. Do not allow people to bully you. And if somebody is going to try to bring it up an issue first, tell them that there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces in the United States. And if they try to say, well, I'm a small business, okay, well, you're still open to the public. You are only considered a private institution if you have a private membership fee. And it doesn't have to be word for word. But, you know, and so I am not breaking the law for barefooting. Barefooting is a protected right for medical, spiritual, mental health, cultural, religious reasons. And you could say, your individual reason, you could say, like for me, sometimes my reason could be spiritual, but sometimes my reason can be because of my disability. And that could be because of the autism, or that could be because of my physical disabilities. And so that can change, you know, it can. And so sometimes I'll tell people, for my medical reasons, my medical reasons for barefooting, I'm misreading myself. You'd say that barefooting is a protected right for my medical reasons, or my medical reasons for barefooting are a protected right. Sorry, my wording's a little off today, but something along those lines. But they can't ask you what that medical, spiritual, cultural, religious, whatever reason you gave them. They cannot ask for more information. And if they do, we can tell them that's actually illegal for you to ask. You are the one breaking the law by telling me I can't be here barefoot by asking any further questions on my protected rights. I'm not the one breaking the law. And if it's really such an issue, you don't deserve my money. You know, you can say that straight up, or you can just be like, I am not going to give my money to a place that is breaking the law by not respecting my rights. I'll go elsewhere. That simple. They're breaking the law and they're not respecting your rights. Get to the point, you know, and tell them barefooting is legal. You know, and if they have any more questions, they can go to barefootislegal.org. They can look it up, or they can just mind their own business. You know, it's legal, guys. It's safe, guys. Now, like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, you know, there may be unsafe things going on in your physical environment. There may be safety risks physically in your environment. Barefooting is just not the solution to them. But that doesn't mean barefooting is the problem. It just means it's not the solution to this safety threat or this safety risk, you know? So it's different and too for everybody, depending on where they are in their journey. You know, everybody's barefooting journey is different. So what may be safe for one person may not be safe for another person. Like Audrey's going all winter with wearing shoes once. That's not safe for me and my body, you know? So I've had to cave and put them on and way more than I would even like to admit. But I've also found benefits from using the snow or the cold, concrete or asphalt, like ice packs, and going out barefooting, being able to get those grounding benefits. And like the article I mentioned earlier, you can actually check that out, and it gets into the benefits of grounding. And you can find that if you go to Real Barefoot is Legal on Instagram and click the link in the bio. The link tree there has a link. And so just click on like the earthing health article and it'll give more information on that. But if you're able to just ground yourself and use the ground as an ice pack, if you're someone like me that has inflammation in your feet, and that can cause some issues, but you can't go full-time barefooting in the cold either because it causes its own issues. You know, our bodies and understanding them and our needs, it's a constant balancing act, and we're all individuals. We have our own individualistic needs. So, you know, just take it easy, guys. Listen to your body. Remember that your body is different from other people's bodies. It's your own body and your own experience. So I do have to wrap up the show. We got less than 60 seconds left. This was Barefoot is Legal Radio with Phoenix. Audrey, unfortunately, couldn't be on today, but you will hear from us again next week. So, yeah, you can find us on Facebook at Barefoot is Legal. You can go to barefootislegal.org. But really, if you just go to Real Barefoot is Legal on Instagram and go to that link tree, you can find the link to all of our social medias. Yeah, take care, guys. Keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. Take it easy. Be patient with yourself. And remember that every day is a new day and things are constantly changing. So take care. Keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. Bye-bye. Talk to you next week.